Good evening. We are certainly in very special times. I'm Mashi Lipsker. This is Chai FM 101.9, and very excited to be speaking to you tonight as we approach the festival of Shavuot. Shavuos. The word Shavua means week. Shavuot, festival of weeks. When, please God, next week, at the end of the week, we will have finished counting 7 weeks. 7 weeks from when? From Pesach. 7 weeks from the second night of Pesach. And it's actually a beautiful love story. It's a story of courtship, a story of loyalty, a story of partnership, a story of the male and the female, a story of purpose, of destiny, that brings together the beginning of time and creation and ultimately leads to the ultimate purpose of creation, which is Mashiach. What an amazing, amazing time we find ourselves in. And what's really important is not to look at history and say, I just happen to be caught up in this predestined life. It's important to say everything is with God's love and exact providence. Divine providence brings me into the world at a particular time, in a particular place, to particular parents, to have particular friends, siblings, family, etc. But it's a story of love. Hashem's love, our response to him, and the number 7, really the number 6 and 7, which for young kids today is interesting, you know, 6, 7. Do you know what that means? It means nothing. It's annoying. But when we look at 6 and 7 in our lives, when we look at the purpose of creation, the partnership with Hashem, 6 and 7 are very exciting. So here we are on Chai FM approaching Shabbos Mevorchim. What's that? The Shabbos before a new Hebrew month begins is called the Shabbos in which we bless. We have the honor, we have the privilege to bless the month that's upcoming. And on the Shabbos before, when we bless the new month, the entire month is actually incorporated in that Shabbos. The reason being that every day of the week is blessed from Shabbos. Shabbos gives it tremendous, tremendous upliftment. So this Shabbos is going to bless the first day of the month of Sivan. On the 6th of Sivan, the Torah was given. On the 6th of Sivan this year, which will be not this Friday but next, we will re-receive the Torah. Who? You and you and you and me. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe encouraged us. The Rebbe encouraged us to be in shul to hear the reading of the Ten Commandments, because it didn't just happen 3,300 years ago. It rehappens every single year. And the Rebbe encouraged everyone to be brought to shul or to come to shul, the newborns, the elderly, those who find it difficult to come, and of course, those who just have to adjust their schedules. We all need to be in shul next Friday morning, the 22nd. Is it the 22nd? Is it the 21st? It's Shabbos, but it's Friday. We got to be there for the first day of Yontif to hear the Ten Commandments. And so, what do we do to make Shabbos Mevorchim of this week really, really meaningful? Let's look at it. Next Thursday, will be the fifth day of the month of Sivan, and it will be like a Friday because we will be preparing for Yontif, like we prepare on Friday for Shabbos. But we won't just be preparing for Yontif, we'll be preparing for 2 days of Yontif. We'll be doing Thursday night is Yontif. Friday is Yontif. Friday night is Yontif and Shabbos. And Shabbos day, of course, is the second day of Shavuot. And it's Shabbos. Wow. We've got big stuff coming up. We'd better get ready. So, of course, we need to think, as Jewish women, what we're going to serve and cook. And there's a big hype around cheesecake and lasagna and other milchika goodies. But it's a lot more than that. It's 4 Yontif meals, and it's also spiritually preparing ourselves. And the question, how do we do that? So here we are, 5,786 years after creation and a half. And creation was this momentous act of God, which he re-continues to do. He recreates us and everything in the world at all times, breathing a soul into us, bringing inanimate plant life, animal life, man into being constantly. For if he wouldn't, we'd just all disappear. We wouldn't see furniture and people flying to heaven. We would just not be here. Our existence, what keeps us alive, is the Word of God. And you got it. That means that he's next to us, with us, in us, around us, at all times. Let's remember that. Let's talk to him. Let's reach out to him. Let's ask for his help. And let's express our love and appreciation. In fact, every Friday night, we kind of make an allusion. We indicate not only creation, which we do praise God for in the Kiddush, and not only Exodus from Egypt, but there is an allusion, a hint, to the giving of the Torah. Rashi points it out in the very first portion of Genesis of Bereishit. When we say Yom HaShishi at the beginning of Kiddush, the sixth day, the simple meaning is sixth day of creation, when everything was finished, and Hashem then brought about Shabbos, from the sixth, just seamlessly, into the seventh. And we're proclaiming the holiness of Shabbos, but Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, there's another sixth day, and that is the sixth day of Sivan, because all of creation was waiting 2,448 years until the purpose of creation would actually be announced, revealed, and that would be in the Torah. And Shavuot has several names. One name is the time of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. That's God's gift to us. And we call it Kabbalat HaTorah, the receiving of the Torah. So God gives and we say, yes, we want that. Please give it to me. It has other names, Festival of Weeks, Chag HaShavuot, Zman Matan Torateinu, Chag HaKatzir, Yom HaBikurim. But the biggest emphasis in our times has to be, it's a time when God is giving us, each one of us, a gift. If you're in shul and you hear the Ten Commandments, you internalize it incredibly. You're standing at Sinai. God's voice is booming forth. The Baal Korah, the reader, is going to read from the portion of Yitro, Yisroi. It's going to be the 19th chapter, and he's going to say, in the third month of the Jews leaving Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. They traveled from Rephidim. And at Rephidim, a very difficult thing took place, and that was the attack from Amalek. And it wasn't easy, but they won. And they came and they camped in the desert. And an amazing thing happened. The Jewish people encamped like one person with one heart, one person with one purpose. There was never such unity, not since and not before. It was a one time, but it really led to amazing things. When there's unity, God's presence is revealed in the world. When there's unity, God actually reveals himself and gives us presence, tremendous gifts, revelations. We've got to keep that in mind. Before I went on to the show, Peterson and I were discussing that the ocean is powerful, but why doesn't it flood the world? Because there are tiny bits of sand that stick together, and they're able to hold back the mighty ocean. And we need to know that with our unity, generally, specifically, in our relationships, in our marriages, in the world, when there's unity, and for us it's unity of purpose, unity in purpose, we can accomplish amazing things. And that is one of the messages of this festival of Shavuot. So we're going to think wedding, really. Yeah. Think music. Think chuppah. Think chosen, the bridegroom. Think kala, the bride. Think unterfuhrers, those who take the chosen kala to the chuppah. Think of the rings. Well, the ring. In Yiddishkeit, the bride receives a ring. The wonderful food and the atmosphere and the beautiful bride and the bridesmaids. Think of a king, the chosen. Think of a queen, the kala. Wow. The Gemara says that a chosen, chatan dome lemelech. The chosen is likened to a king. And the kala is doma lemalka. She's like a queen. And the question is asked, how long will he be a king? And the answer is magnificent. The answer is as long as he treats her like a queen. And it goes the other way as well. How long will she be a queen? As long as she treats him like a king. It's reciprocal. But there are skills, there are lessons, there's direction. It's a new start. All their sins are forgiven. Fresh slate. It's a commitment. It's a unity, like two people with one heart. And what they're doing is called building a new home in Israel. Bayit Chadash B'Yisrael. And our wish for it is to be all that it can be, because a marriage is binyan adei ad, it's eternal. This is not just temporary for 5, 10, 50, 70, 120 years. It is eternal. And that leads us to the analogy to Shavuot. When, yes, there was music, and there was a chuppah, and there was a chosen, there was a kala, and there were unterfuhrers, and a ring, and just a wonderful atmosphere, beautiful bride, royal chosen, and a brand new start. It was a brand new start for the nation. It was a start that culminated from 7 weeks of preparation. So Shavuos is the wedding, and the 7 weeks from the time the Jews left Egypt was the time that they prepared the wedding. Yes, 7 weeks is enough from the time that you commit to the time that you stand under the chuppah, I promise you. I figured I need to throw that out because people don't realize that you're going to find out all you need to find out under the chuppah. Before you commit, find out everything else. And the best way to find out is actually the objectivity of other people. So let me tell you about a shidduch. What's a shidduch? How does it work? A shidduch is an introduction. Why did my friend think that that guy was good for me? Because basically, he must know something about that guy, and he must know something about me. A shidduch, a shadchan, needs to know both sides. And they need to say, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And to be able to introduce the couple. But in a sense, they've met in ideals long ago. Because we're not going to introduce someone who's 20 years old to someone who's 70 years old. I hope not. There have to be similar ideals in life. And with that, they'll be able to build this eternal edifice, this bayis ne'eman b'Yisrael, the binyan ha'dayad. So you have a shadchan, and once the chosen kala commit, they got to get ready for this wedding. What do the preparations entail? Of course, in a practical way, there needs to be a hall and a caterer, maybe. In the shtetl, they didn't have that. They would set up tables often outside in the square, and people would be invited, and everybody would also be invited, if possible or if need be, to bring their own food or share food. Today it's an expensive little exercise. A caterer, somebody to do the events planning, the decor. The bride needs a beautiful dress. There needs to be food and flowers and wine and music, and everything costs money. So we're preparing what we call the gashmias, the practical stuff. And it's very, very important. And let me tell you why. We live in a physical world, don't we? We have to eat. We have to get dressed. We need a roof over our heads. And that's even before we get married. Certainly, to launch our new home, we want to have a big celebration. So we're working on this wonderful celebration, beautiful dresses, also a flat or a home, furniture is needed. And we need to get food, we need to get linen, we need to get dishes. The kitchen needs to be set up, tables and chairs. The bedroom needs to be set up. We're going to sleep somewhere. And all of this is essential. Yet, despite it being essential to prepare practically, because this world is called the world of action, and this is a physical world, and it's all created by Hashem, the basics need to be there, and we need to use everything to build our home, but for a higher purpose. Let's go back to creation. Why did God create the world? He wanted to dwell with us in the physical. It's very exciting. It's to become one, as the Jews stood at Sinai with one purpose. And for us, it's to blend the physical with the spiritual. We'll do everything. Everything that is considered natural and normal. But we will do it with a godly intention. There's nothing in our lives, no way that we use time, place, objects, and interpersonal connections, no way that any of those falls outside of doing them to serve God. And it's exciting because He doesn't just want us to come to shul on Yom Kippur, He does, if we can, or fast on Yom Kippur or whatever. He wants to live with us in our lives, in our heads, in our hearts, in our homes, in our activities, in our interactions. That's called living fully. To use the physical, which are all blessings from Him, and to do mitzvahs with them. And where did it start? It started at Sinai. But before we got to Sinai, there had to be 7 weeks of preparation. And the first 6 weeks, they were the ones of real activity and preparation and they funnel into the seventh week. So what are the 6 weeks? We're now in the sixth week. We're in the week of bonding, Yesod. But this is what it's about. First week was a week of loving kindness, love and kindness. The second week was a week of gevura, restraint, boundaries, dividing what's good from what isn't good. The first week of chesed is just give. And of course, that's how a marriage should start. But then we need to move into understanding. If we want this to be an eternal edifice, there has to be real life. A time, as King Solomon says, to give and a time to hold back. So first there's the week of chesed, loving kindness, in all its sub-manifestations, sub-spheres. Then you have gvura, boundaries. Then you have tiferes, compassion, forgiveness, beauty, truth. The relationship is growing. Then we have the fourth week of netzach, fortitude, in for the long haul. Fight for what you believe in. Don't let anything get in your way. I believe in this. I'm going to continue to be kind and giving, to be disciplined, to be forgiving. Wow. And then I come to the week of hoid. Hoid means to admit, to thank, to have humility. Hoid is also splendor. It's very beautiful when we are humble. People can't live together with arrogant people. And we're going to look at all of these in terms of our relationship with Hashem as well. In a relationship, people want to give. But when it's never enough, it kind of dries up the will to give. In a relationship, people want to be seen. But if it's only one who only sees themselves because there's arrogance, what can happen? It's not a couple. It's not a partnership. It's not a home. It's a bachelor flat. Eventually, when the kindness and the discipline, the compassion, truth, and beauty, the fortitude, and in for the long haul, devotion, when the gratitude and humility all come into the week of bonding, our week now, a week in which there's true dedication on every single level and true unity, it will lead to next week, which is an amazing week. It is the week of sovereignty, malchus, royalty, leadership. How do you become a leader, a king? How do you stay a king once you're married? How do you stay a queen? You actually behave with loving kindness and discipline, appropriate compassion and forgiveness, and the fortitude and the gratitude and the dedication, the absolute bonding, the commitment that we spoke about last week. And that makes us royal. We speak words then which reflect all of this, because Malchus is also speech. Whether it's spoken or written, it expresses what's inside, as does royalty, monarchy. You can see this is a royal person. So we are preparing to receive the Torah with all of these attributes, with all of these, doing inner work throughout these 7 weeks on our inner selves. And our inner emotional makeup is seven. It's through all of these that we function. Of course, preceding this, there are three intellectual faculties of Chabad, Chochmah, wisdom, Bina, understanding, what's in the wisdom. And then das, which is applied knowledge. How much of these wonderful ideas can I bring into my life? And when my loving kindness and my discipline and my beauty, my compassion, are all directed by intellect, they are powerful. They're not just reactions. They're premeditated actions, which is the hallmark of the human being. How is a human being different to an animal? An animal also has a brain, but a person's brain, his intellect directs his emotion. It's called Moyach Shalit al Halev. The mind rules the heart. You know, when we get a feeling to do something or not do something, and we don't just jump into it instinctively, but we reflect on it and say, will it be good if I say this? Will it be good if I keep quiet? Will it be good if I do this? Or is it better that I wait? And all of these things, as they are directed by our minds, that makes a healthy reaction. And so we come back to Sinai. We have prepared ourselves because in Egypt, King Solomon says, I heard an intimation that you want to marry me. I heard from Moshe and Aaron, your messengers, they're like the shadchanim, they're making the shidduch, that you desire to draw me close to you. And I understood not only the message, but the subtle intimation that to be close to you is a win. To be close to you, Hashem, is security, love, and everything meaningful forever and ever. So King Solomon says, Moshcheini, in the first chapter of Shir HaShirim, I heard that you want to draw me close to you. And I responded, Acharecha Narutza, we will run after you. Who's the we? With my physical and also my spiritual, with my godly soul and my animal soul, I'm going to run after you, which means you'll be able to help me synthesize. It's going to become one unit when I follow you, when you direct me. There won't be dichotomy in my life. Everything will be absolutely synthesized, the physical and the spiritual. Wow. And so it was that the Jews followed Hashem into the desert for 7 weeks, 6 weeks, and arrived at Sinai at the beginning of the seventh week. And we are busy trying to replicate this in our own lives right now. It's an amazing thing. Our sages tell us that all the customs of a wedding are found in the giving of the Torah. The number seven, the 7 weeks of preparation between Pesach and Shavuot. And of course, Achoson and Kala don't see each other. They prepare personally for 7 days before the wedding. And the bride is counting to go to the mikveh. It's preparation. And finally, there's the chuppah. What was the chuppah at Sinai? In truth, we're told that God held the mountain over their heads like a chuppah. And in the chuppah, we find that the unterführer, the parents or another couple, take the bride and take the groom to the chuppah. Well, who goes first? The chosn. And then he waits under the chuppah for the kala. Hashem himself is the chosn at Sinai. And our dedicated, beloved one, ever since. Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish nation, is the Kala. And it's Moshe Rabbeinu who led the people out to the mountain in the morning. The Chosam was already waiting there. He was there first. There was thunder and lightning. And at our weddings, we have music. sounds, joyous sounds, awesome sounds. And what else was there? There was a ring. What else was there? There was a commitment. The Jewish people, just before the wedding, actually the day before, committed. Nasa, we'll do it. A few days before that, they said, Nasa v'nishma. It's an amazing, amazing sequence of days leading up to the sixth day of Sivan. And we're going to actually enact it next week from Sunday, because next week Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. And next week Sunday is going to be a reflection of the unity of the day, Aleph Sivan, the day of the greatest unity that ever was. As it says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hahar. And the Jewish nation encamped there in the singular, not Vayachanu, facing the mountain. What's the mountain? The mountain is a challenge. The mountain is the short mountain upon which Hashem is going to appear, as it's going to say, and God came down on the mountain. Infinity came down into this world and on earth. God came down on the mountain, short mountain called Sinai, and the people were preparing by facing what was coming. The Jewish people are about to marry the King of Kings. And they're preparing to be a fitting partner to the King of Kings. What does that mean? That means a commitment. It means a partnership. It means it's two of us here, and each of us matters. And the way God created us, He created us not only with the instincts, the mind, the heart, the vessels of action, the body, but also He fills us with the abilities to meet every challenge. Because everything's by individual divine providence. Never do we have a challenge, no matter how awesome, that He hasn't filled us with the ability to meet the challenge before it. It's called Hikdim Refua L'maka. God puts the cure before the plague. He gave us the strength before He gave us that challenge. Call it what you will. Anyhow, this coming Sunday is Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and we will feel, as we're already feeling, that it has been a journey. Historically, what was the journey? The Shidduch was made in Egypt. The people ran after. They ran into the desert. They didn't have food except the matzah that it was dough that the sun baked. They didn't know what was ahead, but they trusted. And as King Solomon said, Acharecha Narutza, they didn't just walk. Walk can kind of signify plodding. It can indicate kind of not really wanting to go and having to be dragged. Acharecha Narutza, by our own volition, we ran. Yes, we ran away from the negativity that was behind us, the slavery, the idolatry, the limitations. Mitzrayim means limitation. And we ran into a desert where nothing grows, where there's snakes and scorpions and hostile alien nations living around, and there was hot sun and hot sand and slippery sand. Acharecha Narutza. You are trustworthy. If you say, come here, we know that you'll look after us, and we need to remember that all the time. It's God leading us on our journey. It's God giving us opportunities at all times to make our lives better, to make the world better. Acharecha Narutza. God is Moshcheini. He's calling us. He put us into this world. He made us wake up today. He gave us a day. Acharecha Narutza. I trust you. I'm going to run after you. I'm going to follow what you're telling me is good, because Hashem is the one who sets things up for us. And yes, we don't have food. We just have this dough. He baked it, and it lasted a full month. And then he gave us the manna from heaven. Could we have ever imagined this bread falling from heaven? But you know what it needs to teach us? Where do we get bread now? Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. We make that bracha before we eat bread. We say, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who draws forth bread from the ground. Let's realize it's a miracle. It's not you're going to buy it in the bakery or in the hypermarket, and that's where it grows on the shelf. It's a process, and it starts with miracle upon miracle, that seeds disintegrate, and they actually arouse a particular power of growth in the earth, and it gives forth something that seed woke up in the ground. Yeah, that, according to Chassidus, is how things grow. The seed has to rot completely. Lechem min ha'aretz, lechem min ha'shamayim, whether it's from the earth or from heaven, it's a huge miracle. Let's remember that. God is giving us our manna. They ran out of water, and he gave them a rock. And the rock followed them wherever they went, and it gave forth streams of water. Is it a miracle? The water we have is a miracle as well. Let's look past the public servants. Let's look past that because I went to work, that's why I was able to afford. Let's get in touch with Hashem as the absolute loving father and husband, ever-present, giving King of Kings, and he's our partner. Yes, we encountered on the 23rd day of the month of Iyar Amalek, that hostile nation that dared to attack the Jewish people just weeks after they left Egypt, something all the other nations were afraid to do. But Moshe held his hands up, and Hur and Aharon supported him, and as long as Moshe's hands were up, people looked up to God, and they got encouragement. And the soldiers were able to fight and actually vanquish, actually win over Amalek. And what does Amalek represent? Interestingly, a bit of chutzpah, negative chutzpah. They attacked the Jewish people to say, slow down, where are you running? What are you making a beeline to Sinai for? Have you thought about it? Have you studied it? What are you accepting? Do you really know what's inside? Amalek is cold. The Jews were warm with passion. This was a love story. Amalek said, really? Are you sure? And finally, we came to Sinai, ke'ish echad b'lev echad, like one man with one heart, ready for this chuppah. I'm ready to get married. And then, for the last few days, there were some final preparations. On the first day, Hashem let them rest. They were weary from journeying. So on Aleph, he didn't speak to them. That's this coming Sunday. Monday, which is Beis, Bet Sivan, is a great day. It's the day that is considered like the informal betrothal, Matan Torah. Because Moshe went up on the mountain and brought back messages to the people and brought back the messages of the people to Hashem. Also teaching us, we shouldn't just say, oh, God knows, God knows. Speak to God. Commit to God. He's present. He's waiting to hear from you. Speak from the heart. You can pray from the book, but you can pray from the heart as well. When it's genuine, it is so sweet and so desirable, so accepted. And when it's genuine, you do get an answer. As Rabbi Bernard of blessed memory used to say, sometimes the answer is no, but you always get an answer. And what we want more than anything in life is clarity. And Moshe came down with the message to first speak to the women. And we'll speak more about that, maybe not this week. The women, the wife, the nation. Speak to the women within the nation. Because if the women agree to accept the Torah, they will hold it precious. If they love it, their children will love it. If they appreciate it, the children will appreciate it. It's not what you say, it's what you do. And then speak to the men. To the women, speak softly. You don't need to say more than a gentle word. And Hashem was teaching the husbands, when you speak lovingly and gently, your wife can always hear you. And we'll follow up with a little story, please God, about that. And then speak to the men. To the men, tachlis, speak to them. These are the laws. These are the ramifications. These are the consequences. Because a man needs to hear it like it is. And then Hashem said, you will be unto me, mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. You'll be a holy nation. You'll be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Kingdom, we are kings. Priests, what does that mean? Not only that we are separated and dedicated, but we are also people of kindness. The kohanim, a kohen is an ish chesed, a man of kindness. When the kohanim bless in shul, v'tzivanu levarech et amo be'ahava, with love. They bless us with love. They funnel God's love in, God's blessings in, with love. And what is the ring? The ring is the Torah. It's eternal. It's circular. It's round. No beginning, no end. And we're told that God and the Torah are one. That the very first word of the Ten Commandments, Anochi, is an acronym. It's an acrostic for Ano, Nafshi, Ksovis, Yehovis. I have written myself into this Torah. I put my soul into this. And if you want to connect with God, if you want to connect with the essence of who you are, you got to study the Torah. That's where you'll find your beloved. It's an amazing, amazing time we're in now. We're getting ready to get married. And the commitment is there. We are running. We're in the desert leading up to Sinai. And acharecho norutza. We trust God is great, that he's compassionate, that he will do miracles for us. He's good and kind. We read it in the Haggadah. Just a few weeks ago, we were describing how he took us out of Egypt. However, just trusting or thinking is not enough to sustain a marriage. We need to do. Hashem gives, like an infinite king can. We, as the wife, need to respond by doing our part. This is the world of action. And perhaps next week we can speak about who we are, as it is enumerated in the Eshet Chayil, who we are in the world of action. Because infinite God is not just infinite. If you're really infinite, you have to be finite as well. And therefore, he's found in everything. Please God, we do our part. And please God, everything moves along in the most beautiful way. I'm looking at the time, and I think it's time to tell some stories. What do you think? So here we go. I would like to share this story. A bunch of shidduch stories. Let's see how many we can share, actually. There was a man who once came to the Rebbe, and he asked the Rebbe advice about a relationship. He said, Rebbe, I'm currently going out with a girl whom I like, but she comes from a far less religious background than my own, and she doesn't know what I know. She's much less knowledgeable in Jewish practice than I am. Can this marriage work? Isn't that a fascinating question? He says, I really like this girl, but less religious background and doesn't know as much as I know. What do you think? The Rebbe's answer speaks to us way beyond the question. The Rebbe responded, as you describe it, you would need to guide her in those areas of life in which a Jewish woman must be expert. Surely she can be taught, but that's not a healthy role for a husband. That is the most meaningful line. And then he said, a wife is not a student, and marriage is not a classroom. I'm going to say that again to myself. I'm going to say it out loud. A wife is not a student, neither is a husband a student. And a marriage is not a classroom. That's not what God put us together for. And we need to marry one another for who they are, not for who we'd like them to become. We can model it. We can give out the kind of love and the kind of example that we want to see back. But we can't lose our joy in the interim. We desperately need to actually be loving and joyous and active and see the good in the other. The amazing thing is when we do that, it brings a reciprocal action. When we want them to be happy, and we're not just talking about the degree they want to pursue, but them as a person, to see them as a person. There's a beautiful lesson in love that I so enjoy repeating and thinking about. Did you know that under the chuppah there is a custom where the groom gently steps on the foot of the bride after the glass is broken, and it's, quote, in order that his voice be heard in the home. How does that make you feel? Look, everything has a place and a purpose, etc. Let me tell you a story from the Rebbe. There was a chassid who asked the Rebbe whether he should follow that custom, that under the chuppah, gently step on the foot of the bride so his voice should be heard in the home. Are you getting it? The Rebbe advised him against following that custom. And then he said, are you ready? A husband should show his wife so much love that there's never an issue of his voice not being heard. Wow. A husband should show his wife so much love that there's never an issue of his voice not being heard. Because when you show love, there's respect. When you are careful with somebody else's feelings, their kovod, their honor, this is the work in marriage. There will be respect. When you respect, as we say in Ethics of Our Fathers, you get respect back. Ezehu mechubod. Who is a respected person? Hamechabed es habriyos, he who honors other people. Where there's love, there's respect. A husband should show his wife so much love that there's never an issue of his voice not being heard. You won't have to raise his voice. His voice will be heard. It's a different relationship. And we all know where it suddenly goes off the rails. It suddenly goes off track. It's not a simple thing. The trouble is we want perfection from the other, and we don't look at the perfection that might be needed or the improvement that we might be able to offer, the inner work we need to do to be more loving and respectful. So there's that great story that I love to repeat about the woman who was in a yechidus, a private audience, and was saying to the Rebbe, my daughter's struggling to find a good shidduch. So the Rebbe said, does she know what she's looking for in a husband? Sure she does, said the mother, and starts giving a whole list, every imaginable quality the daughter wants everything. With a smile, the Rebbe said, "It sounds to me like you're describing at least three different boys. You know, the guy's called the man of your dreams for a reason. You're dreaming. That's not human. You're not going to get someone that you're going to design. And Hashem makes it happen that the other half of your soul is going to complete you." These are very, very important thoughts to keep in mind. Marriage has to be a constant work in progress, because we are a work in progress. We need to understand that each one of us very much is in this world to grow, to become refined, to change. And that takes personal work. Nobody can refine you. They can actually present the scenario that makes you realize that you need to work on yourself, unless you just get irritated and say it's someone else's fault. And I think we'll end with this lovely story. So it was a personal conversation, and the Rebbe got a sense that this visitor had difficulties committing. How many people listening tonight know someone, or they themselves have difficulty in making a commitment? It's actually a tzora that we have in our times. Young people meet and they like each other, and then 10 years later they're still together, but they're not married. We need to understand, and the Rebbe gives a powerful, powerful bit of advice. So very kindly, the Rebbe asked this man that the Rebbe's sensing this guy is having trouble committing. "Why aren't you married yet?" So the young man says, "I don't feel like I'm ready for marriage." And the Rebbe said, "Getting married is like learning to swim. You don't learn to swim by reading a book about swimming. You have to jump into the water. And the same is true for marriage. You'll learn about marriage by being married. Some things in life can only be learned," the Rebbe didn't say this part, "by doing them. Remember where the Jews plunged into the sea and the sea split? That's why a shidduch is like Kriyas Yamsuf. Marriage is like the splitting of the sea. You have to jump in, and God helps that the sea splits and the challenges you thought you were going to face aren't there. There'll be other challenges, but the good news is once you step out of the chuppah, you stepped under the chuppah as two people, you step out with the third entity of God himself, because man and woman in Hebrew, ish and isha, each have the word eish, fire. For it to be a constructive fire, take the yud from the man and the hey from the woman, and it spells God's name. And if we have God between us, it's warm, it's passionate, it's constructive, and just like fire can cook two opposite things into something delicious, so too the union brings about a third thing, children and a family, a home, that each one couldn't have possibly done on their own. Wishing you a good evening, wishing you a good Shabbos. Please God, only good news ahead as we continue to travel to Sinai. Good evening.